How are you doing on this nice fall day? It's all good, right? You still happy today? Are you breathing? You gonna have lunch? You got food on your table? Do I need to go down this road? No, we're excited, aren't we? We're excited to be in God's house. I just want to say, as we carry on in this series, What Does Love Require of Me? I was talking to Cheryl this morning. She's going to be here next week, Lord willing, if everything goes well with the x-ray that we took. And I said, honey, we're going to talk about patience. I said, honey, thank you. Thank you so much for giving me illustration after illustration after illustration. I've got so much to tell on Sunday morning or today. And she just said, don't you dare. And I said, well, unless you listen to the message, you will never know. But we're doing all right. I know somebody will tell her. Somebody will text her. It's all good. It's all good. God is good, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, you need this message. Now turn back to your other neighbor again and just say, and you need it even more than I do. I've been diving into two books this particular month. One's been, of course, 1 Corinthians, and the other one has been in John. And I'm just reminded again of how Jesus tells us. I was thinking about this morning in John chapter 15, where Jesus tells his disciples that, you know, you are the branches and I'm the vine. And if you obey my commands, that, you know, you will bear fruit. And and when you read that initially, you go, okay, here goes a list of 10. You know, the Ten Commandments. And then he goes on later on and he says, well, let me tell you what the new commandment is. That you will love one another as I have loved you. And so as we talk about patience today, I want to remind you that when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that great love chapter, I want to read a couple of verses to you first. If I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth, but don't love others, I would only be making meaningless noise like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I knew all the mysteries of the future, knew everything about everything and didn't love others, what good would I be? And if I had the gift of faith so I could speak to a mountain and make it move without love, I would be no good for anything. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I would and boast about it, but I didn't have love, I would be of no value whatsoever. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, or it keeps no records of when it has been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It always is hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Today I want to talk about passion, about patience. And I know that I'm preaching to the choir here. None of you need patience, right? None of you need patience. How many of you like being patient? Put up your hand. Like being patient. Remember, you're in God's house. He's watching. You know, so many times we're just like a two-year-old with God. You know what a two-year-old's like when the two-year-old doesn't want to stand still? And you know, you're trying to do something and you say to your two-year-old, just stand still, just sit still or stand still and don't move. And they look at you, these big brown eyes or big blue eyes, and go, okay. And what do? They start to shuffle. They start to move. And you stand still. We're just like that with God. I think sometimes God says to us, just stand still, just wait. And we go, okay. And then we go and we worry about this. And we go and try to do this. And we try to move ahead with this. We try to move ahead with that. And we try to get and, you know, be the Holy Spirit in somebody's life. When God says, just be still. Just be still. Why should I be patient with God or with others? You know, when I look at this and I started thinking about this again, I was reminded of how patient Jesus was. Now, maybe you haven't thought about this. Maybe you haven't put it together. Let me help you this morning. Let me just ask you the question. When Jesus was born, was he God? This is not something you should get wrong. Or I'm going to tell Pastor Ken, and he's got a big problem. Was Jesus God when he was born? Was Jesus God when he was 12? Was Jesus God when he was 18? 26? 29? When did he come into ministry? 30. Jesus had to wait 30 years for 3.5 years of ministry and 3 hours of purpose. Because it tells us in the Gospels that when Jesus hung on the cross, he hung there from the 9th hour to the 12th hour. 3 hours. He waited 30 years to do 3.5 years of ministry to fulfill 3 hours worth of purpose. If he can be patient, then I think we need to understand that when God asks us to be patient, 2 years, folks, 2 years before your next pastor comes. Wasn't in my plans, but it wasn't God's plans. What was he saying? Be patient. You got this. Be patient. If he can be patient, then I think we ought to learn from him. And understand the significance of being patient with ourselves, but even more so patient with other people. You see, the series is entitled, What Does Love Require of You and Me? And here's what, in a nutshell, if you want to write it down, this is what this whole message is all about. We could pause here and be done. Then you go home and eat early. Somebody's all right with that one. What does love require of you? What does love require of me? To embrace and practice patience. It's simple, yet it's hard. You see, relationships determine your happiness. They are the source of either your greatest pleasure or your greatest pain. Our relationships determine our success. Number one important skill that any executive should have is the ability to get along with other people. Rockefeller said, I would pay anything to have people do that. Our relationships develop our character. Who you are a year from today will largely be determined by two things. The things that you allow in your mind and the people that you relate with. 1 Corinthians 15 says, bad company corrupts good character. So you are who you hang with. And love is to be the basis of all our relationships. For 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, love is patient. God says that if you're going to relate to people, have big, healthy, growing, good relationships, then the first thing you need is patience. Why would God know that? He's had several thousands of years experiencing dealing with people. He's had to be patient. I always love the story in the Old Testament with Moses and God. When God's angry, Moses says, no, don't get angry. Don't do anything. And when Moses gets angry, God talks him off the ledge. I always was reading that and going, isn't that great that they never had the same anger the same day? Patience. The word in the Greek literally means, write this down, it takes a long time to boil. That could change people's lives right there. It takes a long time to boil. We talk about somebody having a short fuse. This means that you've got to have a long fuse. Love is patient. That means it's loving to be patient. And it's unloving to be impatient. When I'm patient with my wife or my kids, I'm loving. When I'm impatient with them, I am unloving. So why is patience so vital in relationships? Why is it vital? Let's look at a few things. Number one, because everybody is different. There are no two snowflakes alike. And the same is true of us, not even amongst twins. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in the Phillips translation. God works through different people in different ways. We understand that. We spent some time over this last 2 years looking at your shape, your unique shape. Look at it. Your S stands for your spirituality, your spiritual gift, pardon me. The abilities and the special abilities God has given you to serve him and establish a relation with him. And then we looked at H stands for heart. We're all motivated differently. We all have different interests, and things that motivate you don't motivate me, and things that motivate me don't motivate you. We have different heartbeats. The A stands for your abilities. We all have different abilities, different natural talents and skills, capabilities and capacities. P stands for your personality. We all have different personalities, different perceptions and values. There are shy people and there are outgoing people. There are people who like routine and there are people who don't even know what a routine looks like. People who are introverts and people who are extroverts. E stands for your experiences. We all have different backgrounds. We all have different needs. There is nobody else like you. And because of these five things, the way God has shaped you, there is nobody else in the world like you. Because you're very different and you're very complex. So here's a test. If I, you know, is this bottle half full or half empty? We all have different perspectives. I heard one, somebody say, great theologian, I think it was a rock star, said somebody looks at a glass and sees it half empty. Another one looks at it and says it's half full. He said, I just look at it and says it can be refillable. Five people on the scene of a crime and they all see five things differently. We're all different. It's a test. Let's say you get a report card with five A's and one B's. You get an A in English, an A in math, an A in history, an A in physics, an A in biology, a B in phys ed. And if that was on your report card, how would you have felt? Well, somebody might say, well, I feel good knowing my parents would feel good too. Secondly, my parents would want to know why I made a B. Some would say, I would expect a big reward from my parents if I brought this card home. It's never had that many A's. Or four, I feel sad because I haven't gotten straight A's. Or somebody might say, well, let's call CBC and schedule a news press conference. Never had those marks before. We're all different. Because we're all different, we need to be patient. How many of you know that you're different from the person sitting next to you? Of course you are. And because you're different, you ought to be patient with other people, because just as you're having a hard enough time trying to figure out the person next to you, think about them trying to figure you out. Ask any husband or wife. Number two, because our differences create misunderstandings. How many of you have ever had a misunderstanding in your life? How about this morning? 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, no one can really know what anyone else is thinking or what he really is like except that person himself. Circle the words no one. Nobody can understand my wife. Nobody can understand my husband, someone would say. If you had my boss, you couldn't figure out him either. Have you ever used these phrases in the last 30 days? 30 minutes? I don't understand the way he acts. Why does he act that way? She doesn't understand me. He's always on a different wavelength. She doesn't make any sense. Look at me, guys. Look at me. How can you think that way? Or here's one for you teens. My parents are in a different time zone. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 14 says this. What's it say? Be patient with everyone. Impatience comes from misunderstanding, and misunderstanding comes from four wrong assumptions. The first one is that the word means the same thing to different people. The 500 most used words in English language have 14,000 different definitions. You wonder why we don't understand each other? Another assumption that's wrong is that we only have, there's only one way to see things. That's not true. In your logical moments, you know that's not true. Another assumption is that my way is the right way to see it. There wouldn't be any problem, you would say, if they would just get on my side. I love it. There's two great books, if you haven't read them. One that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. It's a great book. Because it talks about the differences. There's another one that came out. It's called Men Are Like Waffles and Women Are Like Spaghetti. Waffles have little compartments, right? So that's what men do. They compartmentalize. They put everything in little boxes. And they can do that. That's how they think. That's how they operate. Women are like spaghetti. It's all over. It's all intertwined. Don't shoot me. I'm just telling you what I'm reading. And living. I mean, just reading. Right? That might be a couple of books you might want to read this summer. Since we're inside most of the time anyway. Not bitter. Love's not bitter. I'm not getting to that one. Another misassumption, poor assumption is this, that I can figure out your motives. No, you can't. You know why you can't figure out my motives? Because I can't even figure out my motives. He says, be patient with everyone. That's impossible. I love this old hymn. To dwell above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. Some of you seniors, you know how this one goes. To dwell below with those we know, now that's a different story. So how do we do it? God commands it. He doesn't say, I suggest that you be patient with everybody. He says, do it. Be patient with everyone. So God never tells us to do something without showing us how to do it. So how do we be more patient with people? You ready for this? Can you lean in this morning? You want to know about this? Or should I just... Where's the guy? Where's the little child that wanted to eat? Are we ready to go? Tell mom to bring a donut next time, will you? All right. Why can we be patient with other people? First of all, remember how patient God is with me. The story is told of a man who stalled his car in heavy traffic at an intersection. And just as the light turned green, all the efforts to start the engine failed, and a chorus of honking behind him made matters worse. And finally, the man got out of his car and walked behind the first driver and said, I'm sorry, but I can't seem to get my car started. Why don't you go up there and give it a try, and I'll stay here and I'll blow your horn. You'll never have to be more patient with anybody else than God has been with you. Do you believe that? 1 Timothy 1 verse 16, Paul said this, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst sinner, Christ might display his unlimited patience. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Paul had a problem with patience? Yeah, he did. And here's the instruction I want to share with you this morning. If he can learn it, so can you and I. Somebody said this, people want to do the right thing, stand with them. People want to find better ways of doing things, empower them. People want to achieve things which they can be proud of, motivate them. People want to belong to a group that achieves the extraordinary, invite them. People want recognition for who they are and what they achieve, honor them. See, Paul understood what it meant to be impatient. Why do you think he got struck down on the road to Damascus? Paul was a murderer. And when you say to your kids and when you say to your friends that you're having a trouble with, think about growing up. Think about what God would like to say to you about where you're at. Paul said in Romans 15, verse 7, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. You see, the motive, the reason I'm able to accept other people is because God has accepted me. The second thing that we can do to learn patience is learn by listening. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. The problem with most of us is that we listen to respond rather than understand. You and I are thinking about what we need to be saying next rather than listening deeply to the person who's talking. The temptation most Christians have is they listen to correct rather than they listen to connect. And when you listen just to correct, all you're doing is you've got your guns loaded. But when you listen to connect and you let people explain their journey or unload their burden, when you connect with them, you connect with them because you're listening to them and you have compassion with them and you have unconditional love for them. We would rather instill our judgment than sit still and let God convict by the Holy Spirit. If there's something I've learned in the last 10 years of my life, it's that I've stopped playing the Holy Spirit in people's lives. And you ought to too. You are not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. You might be saying, well, but Pastor Bob, you know, there are verses I can take you to. I'm supposed to. Yeah, maybe you're supposed to just be quiet. And be patient. And let the person work out their salvation with fear and trembling. I told you the story before, and it bears repeating. I remember when people would come up to me when I was pastoring in Ontario, and they'd say to me, Pastor Bob, tell me to quit smoking, and I'll quit. And for a while, I would just say, quit smoking. And they'd quit for a month. And they come back to me and go, Pastor Bob, didn't work. Tell me to do it again. And then I learned. I needed to ask the Holy Spirit to help them quit smoking. And so I'd pray something like this. Lord Jesus, my dear brother, he has a problem with smoking. The next time he picks up a cigarette, would you just make him so violently ill that he will never pick up another one again? And they would look at me like, what? I'd say, just ask God to lead you in this. And when he's ready to set you free, he'll set you free. And then when God would set them free, they would be free forever. A patient man has great understanding. One of our deepest needs is to be understood. Everybody wants to be understood. Paul Tournier, a Swiss psychiatrist, said this: no one can fully develop in this world and find a full life without feeling understood by at least one person. No one comes to know himself through introspection or in the solitude of his personal diary. Rather, it's in the dialogue with his meeting with other people. We figure out who we are and who God has made us to be in the context of relationships. Proverbs 18, verse 13 says, listen before you answer. If you don't, you are being stupid and insulting. Don't evaluate what they do or what you've heard until you've heard it all. God gave us two ears and one mouth. That means that we should listen twice as much as we talk. I don't know if you know this, but God made the bullfrog with a muscle that sends a vibration to its brain that cancels out the croaking sound. When a bullfrog croaks, he can't hear it. The two vibrations cancel each other out. He can't hear the obnoxious sound he's making. Every time he croaks, his brain cancels it out. Here's the principle. It's hard to listen with your mouth open. Some of you will get that about Tuesday. When I was taking my training for coaching, that was one of the things they said. When you're speaking, you're not listening. You need to learn to listen at a deep, deep level. So how would you rate yourself as a listener on a scale of 1 to 10? How would you rate yourself as a good listener? I read of a guy who decided to do an unscientific survey at weddings just to prove that nobody listens. I love this. He went down the receiving line, giving each one a warm smile and shaking their hands and saying, "The alligators are loose." And everybody gave him this a warm smile back and said, "Thank you." Except one lady. She said, "Oh, really? I made it myself." Patience comes by listening before jumping to conclusions. Number three, here we go. Make allowances for each other. Most of us struggle with PMS. It's the pre-message syndrome. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Proverbs 12:16 in the Good News Version says, smart people will ignore an insult. Have you ever chosen not to be offended by somebody? We all have bad days. We're all a little crazy. As someone wrote, always pray to have eyes that see the best in people, a heart that forgives the worst, a mind that forgets the bad, and a soul that never loses faith in God. What allowances are you making for people? For those of you that are older in the Christian faith, are you making allowances for those who are young in the faith, trying to learn their way, trying to grow, trying to serve, trying to hear the voice of God? If we would just make room for each other to be human, I think we would save ourselves a lot of grief. But let's go to number four, because now I'm starting to get hungry. Number four, treat others, the way we want to be treated. Always treat others as you'd like them to treat you, Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 12. That single verse could save marriages. This is easy to understand, but difficult to practice. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. Look what it says in Philippians 2 in the Phillips translation. None of you should think only of his own affairs, but consider others' interests also. Let your attitude towards life be that of Jesus Christ. Could you name the top four or five interests of every member of your family? Do you know that? Sometimes we get so preoccupied with ourselves and so caught up in our own little world. The Bible says that we look out for other people. We should look out for other people's interests. The word in the Greek is scopus, like telescope. Be aware of. If you care, you'll be aware. You'll be considerate. Let your attitude towards life be that of Jesus Christ. That's the real secret of patience. It's not natural for you to be patient with everyone. It takes God's power in your life. This week, when you go to work or grocery store, when you're meeting someone up and you encounter a real jerk, just remember that God is patient with you. So be patient with everybody. And how can you be patient with everybody? By having the attitude of Jesus Christ. Now, in a few weeks, your new pastor Ken and Janelle are going to be with you. And may I ask you to be patient with them? Will you give them time to settle in, time to get to know you, and time to get to know this city? Will you assume the best? And will you choose to love them with the love of Christ? Because God has been patient with you, you can be patient with them. Because I think you need to have the attitude of Jesus. Be patient. and loving. Will you do that? Let's pray together. As we close, I want you to think of that person you find difficult to love, who irritates and bothers you. Or the people you do love, but you're still impatient with. You've got a short fuse. Would you say in your heart today, Lord, help me to remember how patient you are with me. Help me to learn about the people that I want relationships with by listening to them. Help me to make allowances for other people because of your love. Help me this week to treat other people the way I'd like to be treated. And consider committing in your heart, Lord, I'm going to make this time this week and take this time to really listen to those that I want to build a great relationship with. Help me to listen with my eyes. I want to commit to at least 5 to 10 minutes a day with each person, just as a starting point to build a relationship better and deeper and more meaningful with each one. Next week, we're going to put the last building block on the block of building love and talking about what love requires of me. But it starts with love is patient. So say, Lord, help me to be patient as you are with me. And if you've never invited Christ into your life, why don't you do that today? Say, Jesus Christ, come into my life and make yourself real to me. Help me to begin to understand how patient you've been to me. Help me to open my heart and mind to you, to experience your love and your grace and your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we worship.